If my sermon comes out of sequence, you'll know why. Just add to the nerves, why don't you? Good morning, brothers and sisters. Good morning, church family. It's supposed to be a sunny day today. I don't know what happened to the sunshine, but the sunshine's in here, isn't it? Excellent. You know, I socialise quite a bit during the week with people of various backgrounds and various denominations. And they all tell me the same thing, that the attendance of church worship has diminished since COVID. Many churches, like us, continued their worship services and their prayer meetings and their Bible studies via Zoom during the restrictions. But when the churches reopened, members did not return. I must admit, I was reluctant myself when we had no hymn singing or had to wear masks. But Zoom was no longer available, so I had no choice. Now, others have made their choice and have not returned for one reason or another. Focus, in some cases, has become worldly, whereas before it had been more godly. Consequently, their faith is or has been diminished by worldly concerns. As my scripture reading this morning from Hebrews 11 and 12 stated, it concerns the prophets and the patriarchs of the past, displaying unshakable faith. We, as Seventh-day Adventist Christians, should do likewise. So my sermon this morning is entitled, The Power of Faith. Before I start, let us put our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you will give me clarity of word as I deliver this sermon, and that the words that I say will be your words, Lord, of encouragement to my listeners' hearing. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. No sooner had his feet touched the water's edge, the cool water bathing his feet, than a wave of people gathered around Jesus. Someone wanted to be healed. Someone wanted to hear what he had to say. Some just wanted to be there in on the action. So Jesus starts his weary way towards the town when, quite unexpectedly, the local leader of the synagogue, a well-known, well-respected and powerful man, comes to Jesus. On this man's face are marked lines of desperation and urgency. He falls at the feet of Jesus and begs him, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. I pray of you, please come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and live." As Jesus sees him, Jesus has compassion and says, "Of course I will come." The crowd surges forward. The man, Jairus by name, tries to hurry Jesus along. Now the people are watching, and watching Jairus. and they start whispering. Did you see that? Jairus is one of those Pharisees. They don't believe in Jesus. What is he doing? If the other Pharisees see him or hear of this, he will be sacked and thrown out of the synagogue. The crowd moves on, with Jesus in the midst. The buzz of excitement fills the air like bees buzzing around a garden rich in blooming flowers. All the while, Jairus is anxious. Jairus is troubled. Jairus is trying to hang on in the hope that Jesus will help him. Then, as the crowd moves along, all of a sudden, Jesus stops midstream and asks the question, "Who touched me?" The disciples look at each other with bewilderment. There are people all around, jostling on every side. Peter, the disciple, responds, "Jesus, there are people all around you, all the time, thronging you, touching you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" Jesus looks lovingly at Peter and softly says, "I know someone has touched me because I felt power flow out of me into someone." Then, as Jesus looks in her direction, a woman falls down at the feet of Jesus and tells her story.
"Lord Jesus, please forgive my intrusion. I know that you're a busy man, but when I knew you were on your way to Jairus's home, I just had to come. I know he's an important man in the community, and so I felt that you would have no time for me and my problems, and I was just too embarrassed to talk to you. But still, I had to come. Yet it was out of desperation and hope that I came to you. You see, Lord, I have had a weakness for 12 years, 12 long years. I constantly lose blood. It's so hard. It feels like my life is being crushed. I'm constantly weak, breathless, always in pain, and so many times ignored. Time and time again, I have visited doctor after doctor, taking treatment after treatment, trying everything and anything that I could. Each time having my hopes raised, only to have them dashed again. I become exhausted, weary, and oh so lonely. Now, Lord, now I am in poverty, penniless, having spent everything that I had on useless remedies and empty promises. My life has become just one miserable round of surviving from one day to the next, trying to ignore the pain, my faith sinking within me, my desire for life ebbing away. Lord Jesus, it's so hard when people ignore you, when they turn their back on you, when they mistreat you because of a condition that I didn't cause and I didn't ask for. But fate has brought it into my life, and how I despise it, for it has robbed me of every scrap of happiness. The life of laughter I knew before has become a life of dark clouds, even on a sunny day. But then, Master, I heard of you. I heard of your power to heal and your tender compassion. I remembered the sayings concerning the Anointed One of Israel, how even his very clothes would contain the power of God, power that could heal me. And so hope sprang up within me, the same hope that fills a mother as she's about to have her newborn child. It was a hope that had been wrung out by bitterness and disappointment long ago. Lord, I came into the crowd of people believing that you truly are God's anointed servant. As I came closer, my heart raced within me, filling me with hope and faith. Yet I was also so fearful of rejection, fearful of failure, fearful of what you might say, and certainly fearful of the cold looks from the crowd. Yet, Lord, as I touched the end of your garment, instantly I felt the love and power of Almighty God fill my whole being. It was a moment I shall never forget as long as I live. For in that moment, I knew I was healed. Lord, forgive my actions today, but dear Master, your power has changed my life, and I am forever grateful and forever thankful. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Then Jesus looked at her and said, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace." Today, many people may have an issue, not necessarily an issue of blood, but they may indeed have issues, financial issues, relationship issues, confidence issues, educational issues, money issues, stress issues, and the list goes on and on. Today, we too, like that woman, may have issues that have become a burden in our lives. Whether we're young or old, male or female, yet whoever we are, Jesus can help us. From the passage of this story, Jesus helped the woman who felt the need for help. Today, I believe that Jesus is still willing and waiting to help any woman or man who seeks his power and his grace. But just picture Jairus as he's almost flapping with anxiety, saying, "Dear Jesus, please will you hurry? My child is about to die. Please, Master, please." Jesus continues with the crowd. Then the messenger of death arrives and tells Jairus the terrible news. "Your daughter has died. Don't bother the master anymore. He can't help you." Just picture this heartbroken father, stricken with grief, heavy under the load of loss. Now humiliated. He had thought that having faith in Jesus could have helped him, but now he stands bereaved and in danger of a sanction from the council of Pharisees, potentially to lose his job, maybe his home. Thus the response of the men of the house: "Don't bother Jesus any further. He can't help you anymore." Today, many may be like this man, feeling the pressures of family life, work, the loss of a loved one, facing bitter disappointments, isolation, and doubts. Today, some Christians may find themselves in a crisis of faith, having tried to trust in the Lord, but only finding that things didn't work out the way that they wanted it to be. Therefore, they've left, wondering if this trusting of God business really works. But the story continues, for the Bible says that as soon as Jesus heard this news, he said to Jairus, Do not be afraid, only believe. And so, my brothers and sisters here today, whatever you're going through, whatever responsibilities you'll find yourself juggling with, whatever problems you find yourself trying to solve, don't give up. Don't lose faith. The Lord Jesus is still on the case and is able to help you. Don't be afraid of the situation. Only believe. And so Jesus arrived at the home of Jairus. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John with him, and then says to the people who are gathered to mourn the little girl's death, "Why are you making such a noise? As though she were dead. She's not dead. She's only sleeping." The people in turn then laugh at Jesus scornfully, mocking him, saying among themselves, "Who does he think he is? Coming in here, telling us about her. He wasn't even here." The Bible tells us that Jesus put them all out. He got rid of them. He booted them out. You see, there comes a time in every person's life when you have to decide what you're going to do with those who are constantly negative, constantly doubting, and those who are constantly putting you down. There comes a time when, in order to move on, we have to say enough is enough and remove the source of negativity and doubt. I have a question. What negative voices, inferences, or influences are we allowing to have significant place in our lives? Coming back to the story, as Mark chapter 5 comes to an end, the writer seems to save the best till last. Jesus enters the room where the young girl of 12 years old is lying motionless on the bed. Jesus takes her by the hand and says, "Talithai kumai," meaning, "Damsel, I say to you, arise." Then immediately the young girl inhales, opens her eyes, and sits up. Here, Jesus took time for a young person. Jesus specifically focused on raising up this young person because he believed in her potential and valued her whole being. In his words, "Damsel, arise," Jesus was commissioning her, approving her, empowering her, and authorizing her to rise up and become all she could be by the power of God working in her life. I imagine the girl rising up and dancing with her father and mother. In a similar way, God invites every person here to rise up, to dance, to soar, to fly, and become all that God created you to be. The touch of the Master in each case, that is, the woman with the issue of blood and Jairus with his daughter, followed the faith of the individual who needed help. Therefore, they weren't only physically, but also spiritually healed. So just what has been the essence of this sermon? Whether spiritual or physical, we need to be made whole. And that can only happen when we have faith, fully submitting our lives to the Lord, allowing ourselves to be touched by Jesus and molded to his will. The purpose that God has for our lives will only then be fully realized. As the words of that well-known hymn states, "Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still." My prayer for each one of us this morning is that we will allow the Master to take full control of our lives, to allow him to touch us, to make us whole, that we may serve him and honor him and be his ambassadors in order to hasten his soon return. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that fills my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Yes, he touched me and made me whole. Amen.